Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Again with another edition of Spin the Rally Pod from dirtfish.com. I'm Lisa Rose Sullivan, the humble rally fan, joined as ever by the esteemed brains of former sporting director George Donaldson, senior staff writer at dirtfish.com David Evans, and the voice of rally himself, Dirtfish's Colin Clark. So, it's great to be back with you guys once again. And I have to say, even though I can't hear it, I can imagine it, I can smell it, I can feel the sound of a rally car testing in Finland.
I can actually smell the mud burning on the bottom of the car. Even if it's dry mud, it still burns on the red hot exhaust. I can smell that, Lisa. It's a good smell.
It's a really good smell.
And if you listen, there, you can actually hear that car bouncing off the limiter. You can. Yeah. We can hear it.
As it sails through the air. Fantastic.
Boom, and away it goes again.
It's been so long.
Been so long, and we're beginning to see things happening. Cars testing, teams announcing plans for rallies. It's all beginning to look an awful lot more positive, isn't it?
It really is. So we should spell out the point that the teams are now allowed to go out and test. Testing was stopped, and this seems to be the first stage, the first point that we have an inkling that the championship may run again, potentially, possibly, maybe, let's not get ahead of ourselves, in 2020.
Yeah, that's right, Lise. And we saw testing was banned until the end of May and started again at the start of June. We saw Hyundai Motorsport very quick out of the blocks testing last week, week before last, whenever it was. These weeks are all blending into one. and, of course, Thierry Neuville was pretty quick to fall over as well in quite a sizable crash at the end of the first day of testing for Hyundai. He rolled the car. And they had to obviously take the car home back to Frankfurt, got it fixed. But we have Toyota testing this week. We see Kalle Rovanperä in the car, and that, I think, for me, guys, one of the things I want to talk about is we saw, Cole, your video with Kalle Rovanperä up on dirtfish.com last week. If you haven't seen it, you must go and watch it. It's really cool, really nicely done. But is Kalle Rovanperä the saviour of Finland? Because right now, you know, I find it astonishing. You think 20 years ago, Marcus Grönholm won his first world championship. 2 years later, he won his second. And that was it. That was the end of Finland's reign in terms of world championships. And we have gone now, what is it, 9 plus 6 is 14.
Hang on a sec. Can I just interrupt you there? Let me interrupt you there, David. And let's have a bit of a listen back to Callie's chat with Colin.
Rovanperä has had a dream start to life in rallying's top tier, but like everyone, is struggling to find ways to cope with the demands of lockdown.
Yeah, it's quite boring nowadays for me. I haven't been driving rally car or anything, so that is the most boring part. But now I'm training physically quite much because we have a lot of time, and basically that is the way I am spending my days. Sometimes I go to drive with drift cars and stuff like this, and now I have had time to do it a bit more, so that's one good thing about this, because I have more time for my hobbies.
With momentum behind him, the forced break really couldn't have come at a worse time for the babyface Finn.
This is not so good time, at least for me, because I was just getting used to the car and all the things in the WC car. So yeah, it was going really well. The beginning of the season was good, so it's sad that it came at this point. Now we maybe have to start a bit more from the beginning.
With such an explosive start to the season, the frightening thing for the opposition is that Robin Perra believes there's a lot more to come.
For sure, I can be much better in many places, but I have also been doing, I would say, good stages and places like this year already. And I feel that I can use the car in some places, like in the maximum pace, but there is so many places where I can use it more, and hopefully next seasons I can do it all the time and we can be faster.
And it's not just speed we've seen this season. Discipline has been a big factor in Callie's impressive performances.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised that I can still control my driving with new car and much higher pace, and it has been really nice to see, and I have been happy that I have been controlling so well and not pushing when we don't need to, and still learning all the time, because the most important thing is to get all the kilometers.
But with so little experience in world rally cars, there's still a lot to learn.
For sure, there has been many places where I just need to drive more with the car to know what it does. And we didn't do so much testing before this season. So a lot of places like that has been coming in the rallies, and that's always difficult when you have some new things learning in the stage. But I don't see any biggest factor for me what was the most difficult one, because the car is easy to drive, and I just need to be really fast with that one, so you need to push a lot. There will be so many new places still this year and new situations, so I think it's the confidence and experience from those, and just building up the speed all the time.
And already on the power stage in Sweden, we've seen glimpses of brilliance from the young Finn.
We was maybe talking with Jonne that we just need to have a clean run. It was actually really challenging weather and condition in the States. A lot of mud and water, and then ice and snow also, so it was for sure the most difficult stage I have ever done. So I was just thinking that I need to do my best without any, I would say, I was not pushing too much where I needed that, or I knew that I cannot make difference. But then when I knew that here I can make some difference, I pushed more. So it was like a nice controlled stage, but I was still going flat out from start to finish.
Born the son of a famous rally driving father, motorsport has been part of Robin Perra's life for as long as he can remember.
Maybe when I started to drive with my first rally car, when I was 7 or 8, with the Starlet. And then it was just for fun. It was not like so big deal for me. Everybody said that it's good to drive like that when you're so young, but for me it was like quite normal. I didn't think about it too much. But then when we started to drive rallies in Latvia, and we did already like proper pace compared to like some proper drivers, then I knew that maybe I know how to drive a rally car.
It's been almost 2 decades since a Finn won the World Rally Championship, and it's quite clear that a nation expects.
I try to not to think about it too much, but for sure there is pressure coming from everybody, and people like to think like that. That it would be nice that if I would be the next one, but for me it's just for sure it's my goal also, and I try to just do everything to get my goal, not to think what everybody else thinks, because I cannot help them.
Robin Perra may be the baby of the Toyota outfit, but that's not how the team treat him.
It has been really nice to see this year when we went to Toyota that everybody took us really like seriously. When we came, we didn't feel like that we are some young drivers. We are working with the team really well, and of course the Tommy's and guys' experience is helping a lot, and of course Dad is always helping me when he knows he can.
There he is, the man himself, WRC rookie, Toyota's very own Kalle Rovanperä, speaking to Dirtfish.com's Voice of Rally, Colin Clark. And even though we have just played you an audio version of that, you really must check out the video on Dirtfish.com. It was posted back on June the 6th.
For me, you know, that was a real insight into where Kalle Rovanperä is, Cole. You know, the fact that we look at him as a 19-year-old. You know, and you expect him to do almost quite an immature kind of guy, a typical 19-year-old, not being terribly disparaging to all 19-year-olds, but this guy has got so much maturity, such an old head. You know, at the start of the season, his father told me, he said, stop looking at Kalle as an 18 or a 19-year-old. Look at him as somebody in his mid to late 20s. That's where his experience
absolutely,
is.
Absolutely, because he's been driving since he's so young.
Exactly. But that interview, Colin, really brought it out, didn't it? In the aspect that, yes, he knows he may have to take a couple of steps back because of coronavirus. He's happy to do that. He knows he's got time. He's not going to rush. He knows he's found a limit in some places. He's happy to look for the limit somewhere else. And do we think is he has to be surely the first Finn since Gronholm to win the championship?
Well, he's certainly got a great chance, hasn't he? Yeah.
He's got a great chance, and I think what we need to look at is potentially why he has attributes that will allow him to potentially push for the championship, and I think it is inevitable. I think the guy has got world champion written all over him. But why, David, have we waited nearly 20 years for a worthy successor to the great Finns of the past? We had Gronholm, we had Mäkinen, we had Kankinen, who for the best part of nearly two decades, certainly a decade and a half, dominated world rallying. We've had a 20-year hiatus in terms of Finnish champions. What is different about Rovanperä?
Sebastians have got in the way.
I don't think so.
But also, you know, we've got to kind of almost look even further back. And, you know, George, I'm sure, will back me up. You go back to the absolute greats. You mentioned Mäkinen. I'm sure you were talking about Tommy. Timo Mäkinen, Rano Altonen, Simo Lampinen. These guys were the absolute professors early doors. You know, these are the guys that taught us how to left foot brake a mini. You know how? And any driver that can step, George, you've done half of this, can step from a mini, left foot braking a mini, to a Healey 3000. And win rallies in both. You know, let's not forget Timo Mäkinen driving Oinipoja in whatever it was, late 60s, 67 or something, Thousand Lakes Rally. The bonnet came up, he couldn't see out of the window, so he kept putting the car sideways to look out of the side window so he could see which way he was going. You know, these are fundamentally, naturally gifted, incredibly talented drivers.
But what happened then, guys? What happened for 20 years? Success breeds success. There's no question about that. You know, I'm sure at the start of the 2000s, every single Finnish kid who was growing up wanted to be a Mäkinen, wanted to be a Kankinen, wanted to be one of the greats from the olden days. Why did we get that period? Why are we still in that period of 20 years without a Finnish champion? What's been missing, George?
Right, okay. Long answer or short answer?
Insightful answer. Oh, insightful answer.
Well, look, I mean, first of all, I mean, from Kankinen onwards, the hits from Finland were all done under the Timo Jokke motorsport banner. You know, he managed all these drivers. He nurtured them through. The first one he did was Juha Kankinen. He lent Juha his car. He saw that Juha was a great driver and lent Juha his car for an event. And that's what kicked it off. And then Juha went to Toyota. He had an English manager for a time.
And then Mike Greasley,
and then he moved back. He moved back into the Jokke management fold, and the Jokke management fold basically mastered all these drivers come through. I mean, it's a bit like, you know, Hitsville, USA. It was Hitsville, Finland, wasn't it? The Motown of rallying was Finnish drivers from the Jokke stable. But they've had misses, you know, not necessarily misses in that the drivers concerned still made great career earnings and still had great results. You know, the greatest one, I think, that hasn't been the champion has to be Mikko Hirvonen. you know, who was up against
Latvala.
Latvala, is, I mean, absolutely as well, of course.
But it really,
might even, you might even say more so.
But let's just stop there a sec, George, and let's actually look into, you know, we all love, absolutely love Jari Matti Latvala. We do. He is the nicest guy.
Yep.
But did he have, at the height of his power, did he have the temperament to be a world champion? When you look at that period in Volkswagen, but, you know, potentially when he was right at the top of his game, I don't think he had the mindset to beat Sebastian Ogier and to be a world champion. I think potentially Hirvonen did, but I don't think Hirvonen was the same driver as Sebastian Loeb. You look in 09 when he came within a point of winning the championship. Sebastian had that rotten run where he clipped the tree root in Poland or something, broke some suspension. Then he was. Yeah.
Massive role in Greece.
Okay, Cole, that was one thing that was his fault. But then he had the issue in Australia where there was something was underweight and he lost the win. There was a whole succession of things that were very un-Citroen and un-Sebastian-like that opened this window for Hirvonen to jump in. And of course, famously, he missed by a point. That point was available in Sardinia that year where M Sport and Ford decided to not switch the places and let Latvala win. And turning them around, getting Hirvonen into the win, would have given Hirvonen a champion that year. But for me, I don't think that Hirvonen and Latvala sit in the same class as someone like Kankanen and Vatanens.
I'll agree 100% with you on that, David. 100%.
I don't think we haven't seen a classic, genuine superstar Finn. And you're quite right, Cole. Why is this? You mentioned it about the Jochi thing. I wonder if when Timo Jochi has the ability to place drivers in teams and when you've got wealth within the sport to do that, we've seen this in Formula One, does that take away the ability for natural talent to come through? Sebastian Ogier did not have that kind of backing. He had great backing from FFSA and then, you know, he had good links with Citroën. So I guess this is probably not a great example. But Marcus Grönholm didn't have that backing, did he? He was absolutely not from the Jochi school, and it took him a lot longer, but he got there. But you wonder how many Finns are out there with genuine, absolute talent that they haven't been spotted.
Here's the thing, David, and Jochi is an interesting man. George, you know him very well, and I've had the pleasure of sitting down and talking with him on a number of occasions, and you know, we always exchange pleasantries when we see him around the service park. But I remember interviewing...
Fella.
He is a lovely fella. He is a really lovely fella. Mm. Very open chap as well when you get the chance to talk to him. But I remember when, you know, Teemu Suninen, Jochi had retired before he took on Teemu Suninen. He retired to Switzerland and he was out of rallying. And he came back for Suninen. And I remember asking him the question in an interview for Rally Radio and saying, what was it about Teemu Suninen that made you get up out of your retirement armchair and get back out onto the stages, expecting him to say, oh, I was watching the results from such and such a rally and he was blowing the kids away and his speed was phenomenal and all this, that and the other. And he took a second or two and he went, the result of a psychometric test I asked him to do. And I went, sorry, you've got to say that again. And he said, yeah. He said, you know, okay, I was retired, but I still look around, I still saw the young Finnish drivers, and when I see young Finnish drivers, first thing I ask them to do is to take a psychometric test, and I want to see that they've got the right attitude. He said, Teemu Suninen's results were off the scale positive, and that is why I decided to get back involved again. And, you know, you think back to the days of Kankanen and Mäkinen, and even Latvala and I suppose Mikko Hirvonen. You know, psychometric testing, it is a very strange one. It is a very strange one indeed. But I suppose I said to him, is this something new? And he said, no, this is how I have always done it. And it was a massive surprise to me. So he's not changed his methodology over the year, just the results of his methodology perhaps haven't quite stacked up of late.
Look, it comes down a lot to, I mean, the psychometric tests, they're also telling you what you can see with your own eyes and hear with your own ears and feel with your gut. When you meet someone, you can see if they're determined, if they're focused, if you know, the people saying, I'll do anything to get on in rallying, and then they sit in the bar all night, you know, when they should be testing the next morning, spending money they could be buying new tyres with. You know, you can figure it out without necessarily doing psychometric tests. I know that Timo Jokke was at the cutting edge of all that that Finnish sports psychology stuff back in the, at least in the early noughties, but probably in the late 90s as well. The drivers they've chosen just haven't quite managed to shine through. I'm a great believer in Timo Sunen, and I really do believe the guy can do it. And you know, his go-karting friend as well. Absolutely. They're both potential winners, and I still don't think they should be written off. Far from it. I think they've all got a chance. But we latch on instead to Kalle Rovanperä, who is without a doubt just utterly exceptional. And Tommy himself has explained to me why he was so exceptional.
That is a brilliant point there, George. And, you know, we have been far too quick, not to dismiss, but perhaps not to give the airtime that we should have done to Teemu and Esa-Pekka Lappi, because both are great, you know, fabulous drivers. Perhaps from a slightly different school, that, you know, Calais's been in there for so long that he's come in at such a higher level than perhaps what they both joined the sport in a few years ago. But definitely,
he is doing incredibly well. But all these young drivers come in and they reach a point where they normally plateau. And I discussed this with Tommy. I said, well, okay, Tommy, he comes in and he's brilliant and he can go really fast on a test. But he goes out in a rally and they'll start to bin it, or he won't go fast enough, and then people will be disappointed, and all of a sudden he becomes an also-ran after, you know, five or six events. And Tommy said, well, you know, you might be right, but at the moment, everything we've seen him doing, he's not plateaued, and he has actually shown a skill level that is well above anyone else. But still, you've got to be able to put that together with intelligence and patience and building your experience. And these are things that when you talk to Kalle, and when you hear him talking, and like in the interview, you realise that the guy does have the patience. He seems to have the temerity to wait and be patient. You know, he has a lot of collateral in there. You know, was it the interview that was done with our current world champion, Tanak, about looking back 8 or 9 years, what would he do differently? Everything. He wished he could talk to himself in 10 years' time and have not made the mistakes he made and accelerated his career. Well, Kalle's got that ability to look forward in time, look backwards in time almost, because of his heritage. His dad is going to give him all the insights. And if he's got the ability to listen to it, we're going to see an amazing, mature driver coming through. And it certainly seems that way. I think we do have something different in Kalle Rovanperä. But I still think that Esa-Pekka and Timo Sunen can still come good.
That was the question I was going to ask you. How much of a difference is it having somebody who's been by your side since you're a small child, who's been there and done it, to actually advise you and help you grow up very, very quickly? I mean, we were talking before this podcast started, that he's been driving so much longer than people who are some years older than him.
Well, I mean, you know, anyone that knows his dad, Harry's the most lovely, gentle human being, but obviously with a core of steel to be a rally driver. And, you know, he's a Finn. He's got that core of steel. He's obviously managed to maintain a great relationship with his son through his teenage years. You know, they're probably best friends. You know, not all parents have that relationship with their kids. And he obviously has, his son has realised that the key to doing something unique and successful, the path is there, the possibility is there if you follow these steps. And his dad's given him opportunities that are amazing. And I know Harry doesn't live an extravagant lifestyle. Kalle Rovanperä will not be this, you know, wonderfully gifted child that all he does is drive rally cars. I'm sure he's putting the dishes in the dishwasher after dinner. He'll be making his own bed. He'll be doing his own washing, you know.
I've got to say, George, I think you're wrong there. I think Kalle Rovanperä does is drive stuff. If it's not a rally car, it's something. I think he would ask you, what is a dishwasher?
And okay, fair enough. I mean, my point being was that he appears to be very grounded. So that was my point, really. I'm making those assumptions, George, like, right enough, but he appears to be grounded. So you assume that he's not behaving like a spoiled kid. He's not behaving a privileged that thinks they have privilege. He's behaving like he's going to work and he has an understanding of what's happening around him. So you assume that his parents have done a lovely job with him. That's my assumption.
No, absolutely. And yet you have to say that, you know, he is a very normal, you know, late teenager in many, many ways, apart from the fact that he drives for a factory team, a World Rally car in the World Rally Championship. There's a lot. If you met him in the street, if you met him in the bar, he's a very normal guy, David.
Absolutely. But I still think that we've got away from the question in hand here. You know, what happened through the noughties and, you know, into the teens? Where did Finland go? How did it fall apart? And
yeah,
without kind of labouring this point, I wonder if, you know, with Jokke's backing, putting the Latvala and Mikko with Malcolm in M-Sport cars, particularly, you know, latterly when Ford's input into the team was dwindling and they needed some backing and needed some investment, should we not have said earlier, no, these two, you know, they're not quite going to make it, and then look elsewhere? Because that could potentially have opened those two seats up to two Finns who had that massive, you know, absolute. And it's very difficult because you don't want to deride what Mikko and what Jari Matti have done. They are superb drivers, but they are, for me, they are fabulous, fantastic number two drivers. I thought briefly when Latvala came to VW, this is it. He has the moment. He has everything he needs. And unfortunately, psychologically, I don't think Jari Matti was up to it. Mikko, I don't know. I think he was a little bit kind of crushed by Loeb and the Loeb steamroller, and Loeb got into his head in the way that Ogier got into Latvala's head. I think that the sport got in its own way a little bit there of bringing more Finns forward. And this is what we do have to be careful of with the ability to buy seats. And I'm talking, you know, at a much lower level now. We need to keep this development. You look at what Hyundai's doing with its junior program, the likes of Huttunen and Callum Devine and people like that. That's what we need. And obviously Toyota are doing that with Calle at a higher level. We need that. And that is where we're going to get these next Finns coming. We also need AKK, the Finnish governing body, to mirror perhaps what the FFSA does. And of course they do, you know, every year
we
see, you know, one driver gets a shot, and that's where Esa-Pekka, no, he didn't. Teemu Suninen came from.
I think Esa-Pekka maybe did as well. Suninen, many other young Finnish drivers got the chance. But David, you talk about perhaps seat blocking effectively by Latvala and by Hirvonen.
Yeah.
You know, I get what you're saying, but how difficult was it for really everyone around Jari Matti Latvala to actually say, to stand up and admit he is not going to be a world champion? Because even, I would say, until the third year of Volkswagen,
we all still
expected him. Yeah, you know, I remember Malcolm Wilson, when he was at M Sport, saying, whatever Sebastian Loeb ends up doing in his career, Latvala will do more. Latvala will accomplish more. And that's not that long ago that he said that. And Latvala had something very, very special about him. And probably until the third year of the Volkswagen project, I genuinely believed he was the naturally most gifted, fastest driver out there. He could do things, certainly in the pre-Volkswagen years, that no other driver could do. He could win stages by 10, 15, sometimes 20 seconds. And waiting.
I'm not sure I'd go that far. I don't think he was that far ahead of any other driver.
He was. He was on a particular stage at a particular time, and I'm sure I can't give you any examples right now, but on a particular stage at a particular time when it all came together, he was.
But absolutely, Cole, you could say exactly the same thing about Chris Meek. You know, for me, at
the
peak of his power, nobody could touch Chris Meek at times.
Yes.
It was the same. But for me, neither of them had the complete package. And, you know, perhaps they needed a tiny bit less speed and a stronger mental approach or more consistency, whatever. But you're absolutely right. It would have been a very, very brave person to stand up and say, Mikko, no. Jari Matti, no, you're not going to make it. Because for sure, Mikko was a brilliant number two. And, you know, when he was with Grönholm, absolutely, he was Grönholm's successor, wasn't he? But it never quite panned out. And I think part of the problem for the two of them was that they were both in the same team. And it got quite comfortable, you know, at M Sport for a while with them. I don't know. But it's, you wonder as well, George, when you look back in history, you know, maybe are we looking through rose-tinted spectacles here? Because, you know, we've got Lappi, Sunnen and Rovanperä. We've got three great potentially rally-winning Finns in the championship now, just in the same way that we had, Kankinen, Mikkola, Salonen, these people back in the day. But It just seems that the sport has changed dramatically as well in terms
can
of,
I,
you know... If
can I jump in with you on that, David? Because that's the way I wanted to go back and say, can we look at the future from the past? Because we did have that run. We had Markku Alén, Kankanen, Vatanen, Salonen, Tommi Mäkinen, and they all basically were competing not only with their peers from other countries, but within Finland itself, that they... I've seen this in other sports, that sometimes you need to have a really good opponent in your close to you to actually bring out the best in you as well. And you've mentioned, you know, the chaps that we've got now in the championship, but there's been a good 10, 15 years where there was only Mikko Hirvonen or Jari-Matti Latvala flying the flag for Finland.
But yeah, but what I was going to say there, Lise, is that the sport has changed dramatically in the way that it works. You know, now we have onboards for probably the last 10 years we have onboards. So any driver that's coming to Rally Finland for the first time will spend weeks, if not months, going over and over and over and over. They will know the stages intimately before they get there. That's something that, you know, back in the day in the 80s and 90s and early noughties, you simply couldn't do. And when you look back and you think...
But you could drive the stages more.
But yeah, fine. Yeah, you could. You could have a much longer recce. But we still look back to 1990 when Carlos was the first ever non-Finn or Swede?
Yeah, I was there.
You know, yet this year, if we were going to Finland, would it be an absolute shoo-in for a Finn? You would have to say no, it wouldn't. So what changed in that intervening period? You know, we have now probably got a lot more rallies, and I think you get less time in Finland. You know, back in the day, you would have had someone like Kosti Hämäläinen and these guys that were doing the Finnish championship that would come along to their own WRC round and do really well. Hämäläinen, yeah, we saw, you know, won it 1 year in Ford's test car. I don't know.
He didn't use pace notes.
No, exactly. He knew the road so well. Jeez. You know, he's a brave man, yeah, that sat in there with him. But yeah, it's incredibly hard to pinpoint. So, and sometimes you just get that, don't you? You know, we had it in Britain. You know, we had Colin and Richard and we were absolutely cruising through and, you know, everything was looking good. And then there was that lull. And you do get that brief time where you don't have the superstars.
So can we move forward again to Robin Perra? Because I don't think... George, I got everything you were saying about him coming from, you know, the right sort of environment. He was absolutely immersed in rallying from the day he was born. The opportunity was there for him to drive cars from a very early age. That doesn't explain it, because we've seen that with lots of other drivers. There is something about this kid that is different. But I suspect it's more than one thing.
I'll give you my... I'm right, Carl. I'll stand by what I said. I think His dad has given him all his years of experience, and because they're obviously mates and they get on well together, he's been able to say, "Dad, you're absolutely right. I'm going to take this advice to heart. I'm going to understand it." And he's probably had countless examples, you know, where he's made little mistakes when he's learning it, saying, "Now, look, I'll let you make that mistake. If you'd listened to what I told you, this wouldn't have happened. So now you can't go out for the next two weekends whilst we repair your car." He'll have learned. It's brilliant.
But also, on top of that, look back to that video of Kalle Rovanperä as an 8-year-old driving that Toyota Starlet on the frozen lake. That is absolute natural talent. You know, to feel the physics of the car, the dynamics of how it's moving, and to react to it. You know, he's an 8-year-old child. Yeah. You know, to understand that is outstanding.
I'm going to tell you a story that I may have told before, but I'm going to tell it again because I think it's probably quite pertinent to this discussion. One of the things, the earliest memories I've got of rallying was actually watching a program called Tomorrow's World. Tomorrow's World used to be all about, you know, what was it, George? About
Tomorrow's World.
And about Tomorrow's
science,
World.
New science innovations.
And science and innovations and science, understanding science. And there was a feature on Tomorrow's World about Colin McRae. And it was an eminent psychologist, brain surgeon, and someone else that was involved. And they studied Colin McRae. And they studied what he does. And they studied the way... the hand and eye coordination works. And you know, at the end of this 5 or 10 minute piece, this eminent scientist turned around and said, "I don't say this very often, but I don't know what's going on with this man. I don't know what's going on. He said there's a very, very well-documented process where, you know, the eye sees something, the brain reacts to it, it tells the hands what to do, the hands do it, and the message then goes back to the brain that it's done. He said, as far as I can work out, and there is no science behind this whatsoever, McRae bypasses one, maybe two, of those processes. Yeah. Now, I suspect, and he said, he ended up by saying, yeah. I could be in a rally car for 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the rest of my life, and I would not be able to do what McRae does, because I don't have whatever it is that's going on in his brain. I suspect there's a bit of that with young Rovan Perra as well. As you say, David, it is just, he has the environment. The environment is there for him, and the environment is nurturing this God-given natural talent. But he has something very special. I'll tell you what else I think is going to help him, and is clearly helping him already. It's the fact that he is the first Finnish driver, the first factory Finnish driver in history to drive for a Finnish-based team. That will help him immeasurably as well. There's a lot coming together for Kalle Rovanperä that I think, just affirms his destiny.
But equally, Colt, you know, the first Finnish driver to drive for a Finnish World Rally Championship team brings massive pressure. And that's the other bit that we've seen from Kalle. His ability already to cope and to deal with all of that. It's quite astonishing. And, you know, when we look at what he did in Sweden on the power stage to beat Sebastian Ogier, Ogier had a very different strategy. We've discussed this already on the podcast, that he was looking at the longer game. He didn't want to risk the points that he would have got for third place with the power stage win or whatever. Kalle had nothing to lose, and he went for it. But he went for it still. And he talks, you know, we heard him talk about his approach to the power stage in that interview he did there, Col. And they were such difficult conditions. And it totally didn't faze him. He just got on with it. So you're right. I think, you know, there's an element that simply cannot be learned in all of this. And that's what your Tomorrow's World programme would have shown, that it's genetics, it's chromosomes, it's all of that stuff, that every now and then one of these absolute freaks pops up, and McRae was one of them, and Kalle is one. These absolute genius people, and it could be that they can do A levels at 10 years old, or they can drive a rally car like, you know, we rarely see. And Kalle is that man, and he's going to save Finland from 19 or 20 years, or however many years it is, without a championship.
I mean, I can absolutely believe all that, but it's of course it's also to do, and that's a classic example. There's two kids with fabulous ability. One a proven world champion, Colin, and Kalle, a prospective one. But basically, you know, there have been lots of other people that have probably had the same makeup, but they've not quite had the same opportunity. So it's a matter of leveraging everything correctly. And, you know, Colin had Jimmy, who steered him through all the pitfalls. Now, I'm not saying that Colin necessarily listened to his dad all the time, and judging by the amount of accidents and knowing his dad quite well and speaking to him after some of the events and seeing Jimmy shaking his head at some of the things that happened, you know, I'm sure there was lots going on there. But the bottom line is Jimmy made sure he got all the opportunities, and they leveraged them very carefully, nurtured them, made them happen, and did exactly what they should do. You know, leverage everything you can, and that's what Jimmy managed to do for Colin, as well as other things, you imagine. But obviously, Harry through the Timo Joki operation, through his own efforts, and a lot of his own efforts, you know, has leveraged all the opportunities he can for his son. They've still got to have that ability, and not all of them do. And quite clearly, those two, well, Colin we know had it. It would certainly seem that Kalle has it. Proof's in the pudding. It'll come.
I don't think, you know, from my experience with Rovanperä, with Harry, he had Joki involved with Kalle's career really early. And I think you're exactly right. But it's actually Joki that's leveraged all of those opportunities. But he's pushing against an open door with Tommy. You know, Tommy totally can see it all. And Tommy wants... It's the perfect setup, isn't it, for the four-time Finnish world champion based in Finland with his team to bring on the young Finn.
A local lad as well, another Jyväskylä boy, you know, what can you say? It's perfect.
Can I just, as a bit of devil's advocate here, we've all spoken about the potential and the skill and the talent that he has got, but has he been tested yet, really? Now, there is that element where a true champion will know what their skills are, will be able to push them, and will be prepared to fail to achieve the ultimate aim. And it's how they come back from failure that actually kind of builds the best champion. And, you know, we know how good he is, but he really hasn't been tested. The ones that we've seen who take a knock and then keep going
tested.
And don't have self-doubt and don't mind failing on their way to success.
No, I think he was tested at a little bit, as much as any driver of that level of experience can be. I think he was tested a little bit at the start of last year when he struggled. He had, you remember, he went off on the first, pretty much the first corner, right into the back of Teemu's car on Monty. Then he went into the snowbank in Sweden. Then he had a shocking car that just didn't really work for him in Corsica. Nothing like the car that he tested. Those three rounds were very, very difficult, and everybody had expected that he would probably have, within three rounds, won the championship. You know, here was a factory Skoda driver that was, you know, he could walk on water, and suddenly, three rounds in, he hadn't won a round. He'd crashed once, and he'd put the car off twice on the other events. The way he bounced back from that, how was that? Let's remember, won Chile. Then he won, where else, Portugal. You know, he won, and from memory, he won three on the bounce.
And then he had the strut problem in Finland. Was that the same year?
No, that was the year before. But again, Cole, the presence of mind. You know, he was leading. From memory, he was leading the class in Finland, and the strut came through the bonnet. No problem. Absolutely, just get on with it. It's these things happen. The year later, he came back to Finland and destroyed everybody last year.
And David, to back up your point, you know, that start to the year he had last year was in some ways very similar to the start to the year he had the previous year. You know, and there was a question mark about perhaps how quickly he was able to get into seasons. You know, we might even be able to go back 3 years to actually say there was a pattern there. You know, it took him until the fourth or fifth month of the year before he really did get comfortable in the car and up to speed. What he's shown us this year is that really, you know, that was just, it was an unfortunate coincidence. You know, this year, the first three events of the season, he has been nothing short of sensational. So, yeah, I think he has, as far as he can be, because, you know, talent-wise, he was, you know, a league above everyone else in the R5 car. You know, as far as he can be, he has been tested and he has responded very positively to the issues that he's had to face. And you know, he's got into that World Rally car this year. He has shown remarkable maturity. He talks remarkably maturely about how to deal with the challenge of the World Rally car. Any suggestion that he's a slow starter to the season, completely dispelled. You know, you can only test your mettle against really the opposition that you've got and the circumstances that you face. And every time he has faced a situation, he seems to have come out of it very well.
And the fact that those three events at the start of last year, you know, they were successive, it's, you know, for me, it doesn't matter a thing. The Monty thing was a pace note error. The Sweden thing genuinely caught out. But, you know, how many drivers haven't been in a snowbank? But I also said this before, you watch the onboard of when he goes off on Sweden. It is extraordinary. I talked to Timo Jokke about this as well. He goes into the snowbank, tries for reverse, nothing. And his co-driver Jonny is calling, the spectators are coming. What does, you know, the camera facing Calais, what does it show? He takes his hands off the wheel, nothing. Sits there completely, just absolutely focused on what he's about to do. No emotion whatsoever. They get the car out, tightens the belts, pulls first and away. You know, there's no histrionics, there's no shouting, there's no nonsense. Yeah. Just get on with it. And for me, you know, coming off the back of a shunt in Monty to do that in Sweden, you know, it shows massive mental strength that is totally disproportionate with what would he have been then, 18-year-old.
18-year-old, yeah. Mm. The guy is, without a doubt, displaying an exceptional degree of maturity, temerity in the face of you know, difficulties, as you mentioned, in Sweden there. It's wonderful, just focused, no histrionics, not digging a hole for the car, realising, you know, having the patience to wait. That is somebody that's been educated and understood what he's been told all the way through.
George, let's perhaps, you know, I know we're going to wind this up soon, but let's think, who would he remind you of as a Finn? Because, you know, while I was saying that about, you know, the calmness in the car, is that a Kankanen?
Who would you remind me of?
Yeah, in terms of
as Finn. As a Finn, that very well-known Finn, Sebastian Loeb. There you go, that's who he reminds me of. What can you say? That's it.
But there is an element, you know, for me, of Kankanen in terms of that absolute blinding raw speed and the fact that he can just deal with stuff.
It's without a doubt. Maybe he's a cross between the multitude of Finns. I wouldn't necessarily say it was just one. You know, you could put a bit of Timo Salonen in him. Timo Salonen had that wry, dry attitude where he took everything in his stride and just dealt with it and had a sanguine attitude to an issue. And you never saw him flustered at the end of a stage, particularly even when he was driving the Group B monsters. So maybe a bit of Timo Salonen, which is a pretty good comparison. But you'd also put a bit of Juha Kankanen into him, because Juha was not necessarily always an event winner. He was a championship winner. He played the long game when lots of people were unable to do that. So yeah, a bit of Juha in him. Perhaps a bit of Tommy in that raw ability and that patience in the car to just get it to deliver everything he wants. To be honest, I've not worked that closely or even talked to Cali that often, just a couple of times at the end of stages and in service park. So I don't speak from a position of strength. I just see what all our fans see as well. You know, your interviews and you're chatting with them. So, I'll stand by my words. I think he's Sebastian Loeb. He's basically got that calmness about him.
George, he's a well-known Finn. Loeb is a fantastic comparison, because he is very, very intelligent in a driving way for one so young. But so here's the question: as you say, David, start to round things up. What year do the Finns celebrate their next World Rally Champion? Is it next year? Is it 2022? Is it 2023? Is it this year? When is it?
I think he would struggle to beat Tanak, and it depends. Does Ogier stay next year? It would be difficult for him to beat Ogier next year, I think. So yeah. I would have to say maybe 2022?
A tiny wee bit more experience required. I would say 22, 23, honestly speaking, is what I would say, because you need the experience. There are pitfalls to find. There's more learning to be done. Although by dint of the conversation, we know that he's effectively, you know, managed to pass that on steroids, you know, literally by learning and being smart. So, yeah, possible 22, but 23, certainly, if the right opportunity comes, he might even do it in 21. It's not a guessing game. It'll be what it'll be.
This is the nature of our sport, though, isn't it, George? You know, you can go to Argentina for the first 3 years and have a completely bone-dry rally, think you're completely on top of it, or a Finland. Then you go back in the wet, and it is a very different rally that needs another 3 years to bring you back up to speed.
It is. Rally is definitely, no matter what we say about it, and skill and everything, and Sebastian Loeb would and Sebastian Ogier would agree, and so would Ott Tanak. It's all about experience. It's all about understanding what's going to come and how to deal with it. And some of it, you know, we talked about the Colin McRae having that unexplainable something. It's all to do with learning and cataloguing experience, so that you're coming down to a corner, you know what's going to happen at that corner, so you've already reacted to it before it's happened, because you had the experience to know what was going to happen. So, yeah, I think, unfortunately, ultimately, you can't totally shortcut that. And we've seen that. We've seen that with young Cali, although he's still far ahead of the curve, the expected curve, even in the most optimistic manner. So, yeah, I think he could pull a flanker. I wouldn't say it was necessarily out of the question, but it might require us to hit events that are favourable for him in favourable conditions, and not to, as you say, David, you know, going to a GB where it snows might not be the best thing for him, type thing, you know, or a very wet Argentina.
Remind us, David, how old Colin McRae was when he won the championship.
Ooh, 26, was he?
And 27, wasn't he?
27.
And he was our youngest world manager.
God's sake, Colin, give me some warning with these questions,
sorry,
please.
Sorry, I'm furiously Googling right now.
No, I think he, 27, George, you're exactly right, I think.
Yeah. And he was our youngest world
years,
champion.
That was 10 years of driving experience. 10 years of driving experience, Colin. And, you know, from the start, Colin was doing, you know, two rallies a weekend. He was doing rallies every weekend. And, he did trials, motorbikes. He did road rallies. He did auto tests. He did everything. And it still took him 10 years.
And, that's exactly right. And some of those, you look at some of the events that he did. He got great, great experience at a very young age.
It went in, and I think he did it very quickly, but still it was 10 years.
But we did see, we've seen young drivers. We've never seen a teenager win a WRC round yet, and I think potentially coronavirus could cost us that. Let's not forget, there are younger guys coming through with the likes of Oliver Solberg, but perhaps they're running out of their teenage years. But we've talked about this guy a lot already, Latvala. He remains the youngest, doesn't he? When he won Sweden in his first year in the factory car, so that would be 2008. He just beat Toivonen, didn't he? And Toivonen was 24 when he won the RAC in 1980. So Jari Matti was, 22, 23, something like that. But it's still not really a super, super young guy sport in the same, not in the way that you could expect Max Verstappen to go in and win in Formula One. Rallying, we've said it 100 times, it's not like that. You know, every corner changes with every car. And as Kubica discovered, you roll here this year, you're not coming back for another 12 months. It takes years. I remember that. Fabulous, the absolute oracle of all things rallying and all things rally journalism. David Williams used to use the analogy that rallying was like spin bowling. A good spin bowler isn't the guy that's in his late teens, early 20s. He's probably in his mid-20s to late 20s, and he's understood year after year after year, bowling on pitch after pitch after pitch and wicket after wicket. He understands, what... heavy weather means at Headingley, this kind of thing. It's experience.
And I love that analogy, David.
And
but I suspect
memory.
half
we
of
are
our
running
listeners,
out of time, chaps.
And half of our listeners are probably going to go, "What? What's cricket? What's spin bowling?" But that's a story for another day.
They can look that one up.
A fantastic story, but you're right, boys. I think what we have a fantastic future.
In conclusion, we're all in agreement, aren't we? We think the guy's brilliant, and he is going to be the next finish WRC champion with Timo and Esa-Pekka still in with a shout, of course.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
You've heard it, but I would go back if you have time and check out Colin's video with Callie Rovanperä on dirtfish.com. It's there right now. If you have just found us, why not subscribe and get plenty more podcast rally news as soon as it's available. It'll drop into your podcast section on your listening device. But that is it for now. I'm very much looking forward to what we're going to talk about next week, chaps, because we'll just be a little bit closer to actually having some proper rally action, maybe.
Yay! Yay!
Yeah, looking forward to this.
Yes, please, yes, please, yes, please, yes, please, yes, please. Give me that rally.